Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Airbus is reportedly revisiting the concept of a double-decker seat for passengers in economy class. The crux of this design is the removal of the overhead cabin to allow two levels of seats in a single aircraft cabin. So could it become a standard feature of flying? Would you fly on an airline that had this type of seat? Well, I'm joined by Kevin Byrne, who's retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Security and Safety Auditor. Hello, Kevin.
Good morning, Claire.
Now, the dual level seat, the company who are designing this, who are looking at it for Airbus, they say they're at some early stage options.
Yes.
It would appear it could be one step closer, though, from becoming reality, just having a look at the pictures today. Can you explain to people how it looks and how it might work?
Yes. When I saw this probably in 2023, I was reminded once again of a movie I saw as a child called Spartacus, and later another movie called Gladiator, where they put slaves in two rows in their galleys and they were able to row along in the water like that. And that's exactly what it struck me as now, because one seat level is lower down and above you, in front of you, is the back of the seat in front. It's a very weird arrangement, the same, to say the least. And it's not something we'd see anywhere else in any other form of transport, I don't think. It's certainly very weird. But I am not much in favour of it for two reasons. Well, for more than two reasons, indeed. But the first reason is the passenger mix we have now at the moment. 10% of the people flying on our airlines are probably fearful of flying. And I don't think this arrangement of the seats will help them in any way. So it looks like a claustrophobic kind of arrangement, whether you're on the top row or the bottom row. The second one is 10% of our people should be thought of as people of reduced mobility. So how do they get up? Do they get up the stairs to the top deck? Are they confined to the lower level of seats? And it's a mix in one seat above the other. It's quite unusual and it doesn't work anywhere else in transport, to my knowledge.
Well, when I was reading what the designer of this said this morning, he was saying that you'd have the dual layer sort of in the middle section of the plane, and then at either end you'd have regular seating that we're all so accustomed with. So you'd have a choice. But according to him, the advantage is if you're on the upper level, you've got great recline ability with your seat, and if you're on the lower level, you can stretch your legs out, and who doesn't want to do that?
Indeed, but it's still claustrophobic. The second point I should make, or third point indeed, is the fact that the overhead bins are remarkably lucrative for our low-cost carriers at the moment, because you have to pay something like 20-odd euros each direction whenever you're going to fly, you see. So to lose the bins, even in the middle of the aircraft, will be, you know, a loss for them, despite the fact that they're going to get extra seats. The second point is about low-cost carriers, and indeed many of them around the world have things called fixed seats. They're not reclinable, because it saved $60,000 per aircraft when they bought them new, and they didn't have to repair the broken ones, which was a serious impediment to low-cost carriers. So many airlines, including people who fly Airbuses, have fixed seats.
Oh,
so
and that's an economic decision. I think a lot of people mightn't be aware of that, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, first of all, you squeeze more seats in, if you know what I mean. The new Boeing Max, for example, has 198 seats. It would actually take 200, but they put in 198 for reasons. And then the aircraft are not out of service when they break the seats. In the first, genre, they had a lot of broken seats, which means you have to repair them and they cost money. So that's why the fixed seats save money.
So why do you think it is that this design option is still being examined then, if what you seem to be telling us is that the airline industry has looked at this so many times and always said no?
This reminds me of what Michael Leary said jokingly one day in a particular public forum. He said maybe people could stand up and hang out of the ceilings like they do on the Lewis or stuff like that. I think it's one of these fanciful things. There's another point I should make now. Would this cause a problem to the 25-minute turnarounds, which the low-cost carriers specify at the moment? Would it take you longer to get up the seats and down the seats and that kind of thing? And even worse than that, when you're sitting at an aircraft, you usually have a window. You mightn't be at the window seat, but there's a window left and right. Excuse me. So who gets the seats then with the windows if you've got, you know, two layers of them? The seat will be in the middle. It adds to the claustrophobia. You're going to have a very dark downstairs and probably a darkened upstairs because your head will be rubbing off the ceiling, so to speak, of the aircraft.
Well, you're very tall, Kevin, so that might be a problem for you.
Indeed, I am. While I like extra seat room, I don't think you're going to get it in this particular model.
Do you think you'd get more people on the plane, though, if you did this?
You might, but it would want to be very short term. It'll take something, you know, a while to sell it to the people. It would work very well, by the way, in the business class because they already have their own pods. So if you're prepared to pay maybe 4.5 times the price of the, you know, the standard fare, the economy fare, as it were, you will get a lovely pod. For example, the new version of the two seats that we've just discussed has a 2 meter bed in it. I mean, who wouldn't like that for a long haul flight? Mm, in that
but you'll
regard?
Pay, so, you'll pay for that.
You will pay for it and they'll squeeze more in from that point of view. So it's all about money, but I'm not sure the public is ready to take this on board. I could be wrong, but it's going to have some selling point required. You know, some marketing will have to be done beforehand.
Yeah, just listening to what you were saying about it feeling more claustrophobic, I mean, isn't that a problem in economy class, particularly on short haul, that it is very tight now? You've got three across, you know, you've got three and three across. And if the plane is full, it does feel claustrophobic. Whereas if you had three people up higher, three people down lower, and more of a gap in between, that surely would improve.
Would you have to pay more, though, because you've just said that in the front and the back of the aircraft are going to have standard one flat seating, as it were. You know what I mean? It's a strange model from that point of view. My other point is it concerns flight safety, which I bang on about from time to time. Can you escape the aircraft in the case, for example, of a crash landing through the chutes on the two layers, or would it cause more consternation in that regard? Mm-hmm. I just don't know how that works, because also you have to be able to do it in a certain time, which is, of course, tested by the regulators. Can that be done if you've got in the middle two layers of seats, one on top of the other? I just don't know.
In general, Kevin, are they always looking at the fit out of the plane when it comes to where people are sitting and how people are sitting, and what's the driver behind that if they are?
Yes, indeed. It's all to do with the economy. I mean, you have to admire Boeing for putting in the Boeing Max, which was a bit of a disaster for the first couple of years of service. But they squeezed into the same fuselage length an extra 18 seats, if you know what I mean. Now, what they didn't tell you was the seats in the front row, the front 12 rows, are less spacious, because I sat in one and I got onto the chief pilot, whom I knew well, and I said, "You didn't tell me that the front row 12 seats aren't the same as the back row." He said, "On average, they're 32, or whatever the figure was anyway, in inches. So you have to be careful. But you can pay extra, as I didn't do recently, but I still got over wing exit seat for free. And it was another, you know, 3 or 4 inches. It was a very comfortable place to be. And you can pay for that. And it's all about return. How much money can we make on a particular type of model of aircraft on a particular route? Mm-hmm. And if we can make money on it, it's profitable. If we won't, we'll stop serving it, or we'll change the aircraft type.
So that is always the driving force.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Behind research, because there are a couple of challenges. There's, you know, they're looking at the speed, and we know they abandoned the Concorde model some years
indeed.
Back. So, and we have the fuel issue as well, trying to
make
it more climate change friendly. But you're saying it really always comes back down to the money and the economics of that flight.
It has to. That's how aviation is. It's all to do with yield. How many can we make? That's why, for example, I was in many airports and people would literally grab my arm and say, "Please send more aircraft." And I'd say, that's not how the model works. We'd put 4 aircraft here or 3 aircraft or serve your route if it can return a profit. If there's money to be made somewhere else, they'll take the aircraft away from this airport. And that's why low-cost carriers, and indeed established carriers, they shut down routes for a while until such time as they can see that the yield will be good enough to make it justifiable. Because after all, the airlines go bankrupt all the time, unfortunately, and you can lose money just as quickly as you might make it.
Kevin, we won't see you on a double-decker plane anytime soon, I fear.
I hope not.
Kevin Byrne, thanks so much for being with us.